Yesterday on ABC, President Trump's former Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bossert said he blamed Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal lawyer, for filling Trump's head with completely debunked theories about Joe Biden and Ukraine. Well, that hasn't stopped Giuliani from plying those theories or, according to the whistleblower's complaint last week, acting as an unofficial envoy of the U.S. in Ukraine. He defended that yesterday on CBS.
Who is that?
I did not do this on my own. I did it at the request of the State Department, and I have all of the text messages to prove it. And I also have a thank you from them for doing a good job.
Giuliani referring there to Kurt Volker, a State Department special envoy to Ukraine, who set up a meeting between Giuliani and a Ukrainian official and abruptly resigned Friday just after receiving a summons to testify before House lawmakers. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says he could subpoena Giuliani as well. He will likely be asked about not just pushing for an investigation into Joe Biden, but about the discredited conspiracy theory that it was the Ukrainians, not the Russians, who interfered in the 2016 election. Rebecca Ballhaus is White House reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Rebecca, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And can you just give us some context about how this idea that it was Ukraine that interfered in the U.S. election, not Russia, got started? There was a Russian-backed president who left in 2014 in disgrace. He was replaced by two popularly elected presidents, most recently President Zelensky, with whom Trump shared that phone call at the heart of this inquiry. Given that recent context, why might these conspiracy theories about Ukraine interfering in the U.S. elections, not Russia, have started?
I think that for both Trump and Giuliani, this whole investigation or set of investigations that they were pushing in Ukraine was a little bit of their way of getting back at this whole narrative of Russia colluding with the Trump campaign in 2016. Now, obviously, the special counsel and U.S. intelligence communities determined that it was Russia who interfered extensively in the 2016 campaign, but that hasn't stopped Trump and Giuliani from repeatedly expressing skepticism about that finding. And so I think it's their way of trying to tamp down the narrative of Russia working with Trump.
Well, and there might be another reason here. We're reminded that President Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, had previously been the advisor to the Russian-backed president. A newly formed anti-corruption group in Ukraine outed the fact that Manafort had been paid millions of dollars by that president that he didn't pay taxes on. That's one of the reasons he's in jail. So this might be, you know, kind of a maybe a defense of Manafort.
Right, right. I think it's also their way of sort of getting back at people who they feel like contributed to Paul Manafort's downfall and of course, all this criticism of his work in Ukraine.
Well, fast forward to more recent history. You report that in July, Kurt Volker, again, he was the State Department special envoy to Ukraine, texted Rudy Giuliani offering to introduce him to a senior advisor to the new Ukrainian President Zelensky. This was less than a week before President Trump's phone call with Zelensky. Why would Volker do that? And is it legal, by the way, for a private lawyer to conduct government business? Giuliani told you he doesn't even have security clearance.
Right. I think that the question of whether it's legal or not is sort of at the heart of all of this. At best, it's a blurring of lines between someone who is supposed to be representing the president in a personal capacity. He was brought on to represent the president in the Mueller investigation. But he's sort of taken that role now, and with his efforts in Ukraine, is seen abroad as a branch of the U.S. government. And I think that that's something that people who are in the U.S. government have been trying to tamp down. They want to make clear that there are official U.S. channels and then there's Mr. Giuliani. But I think that in the case of the State Department U.S. envoy for Ukraine negotiations reaching out to Giuliani, that was a little bit of a blurring of the lines there.
And did Giuliani ask him for the favor? I mean, how'd that come about?
Our understanding is that Yermak, who is a top aide to Zelensky, asked Kurt Volker for Rudy Giuliani's phone number. The context is that Giuliani had been on TV a lot in the months before that, talking about investigations he wanted to see in Ukraine, but also criticizing Zelensky. And our understanding is that Yermak was eager to talk to Giuliani, give him a little bit of context, and try and get him to tone down some of his attacks on this new administration.
Well, and remind us of the other aspect of this. There was a huge military aid package that was going to Ukraine that had been put on hold by President Trump at this time.
That's right. And the timing there is really interesting because we understand that about a week before his phone call with Zelensky, Trump orders his acting chief of staff to put a hold on nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine. It's about a day after that, a day after lower level officials are told about this decision, that Volker reaches out to Giuliani. And we don't know whether there's any link there. We don't have any evidence that there is a link. Giuliani has said he wasn't aware of the hold on aid until much later in the summer. It's also not clear when Ukrainians learned that their aid was being held up. But it is just interesting that these things are all sort of happening within a couple of days of each other.
And by the way, in that call to President Zelensky, President Trump asked him to look into the company that determined that it was the Russians who hacked into the DNC, the Democratic Party's emails. And he mentioned that the server was lost and it may be in Ukraine. This is what the conspiracy theory is. We should say that server is very much at the DNC. There's absolutely no truth to the fact that it's Ukrainian in any way. But Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden, we've heard from reporters who've done, you know, in-depth reporting on this, that what then Vice President Biden was doing in Ukraine was being the point person for a global cry to have a prosecutor step down, to be removed, because he was actually not doing investigations into corruption, including investigations into an oligarch who owned the company that Hunter Biden was on the board of. The opposite story is the one that's coming from the president, Rudy Giuliani, which is that Biden was trying to stop investigations and protect his son. When did this theory start? Again, widely debunked, but when did that start?
This seems to be something that Giuliani started pursuing back in last fall, in around November, which is, you know, an interesting timing given that the Mueller probe was still going full speed ahead at that point. But we know that that's when he started to get interested in this. And then he had a couple of meetings earlier this year with the former Ukrainian prosecutor general. They met in New York. They met in Warsaw. And throughout these meetings, he kept sort of learning more information and was increasingly sure that there was something here and that something needed to be investigated, and that the only reason that this wasn't being investigated in the U.S. or at least talked about in the press is because of an anti-Republican or anti-Republican bias from the media. Yeah. So to Rudy, that's the story here.
Just briefly, could you touch on Rudy Giuliani's business connections in Ukraine? They go back to 2004. He has a private security company called Giuliani Security and Safety. In parallel to his political avenues in Ukraine have been his personal business avenues.
That's right. So we know that shortly after he folded his campaign for president in 2008, he announced that he was going to start serving as a strategic advisor to a boxer, Vitaly Klitschko, who was running for mayor of Kiev. He ended up losing that election, but in 2014, he did become mayor, and he subsequently tried to negotiate a contract for Giuliani's security firm, and it was billed as wanting to restore order in the city. It ended up not quite working out. It sounds like Giuliani's fee was $300,000, which was too steep for the city, and the deal never ended up being completed. But Giuliani continued to visit Kiev in the years after that. He gave various speeches, met with a lot of top politicians, including the former president Poroshenko and the former prosecutor general. So he has many years of a foundation in Ukraine before he even started pushing for these investigations more recently.
You write that he's viewed in Ukraine as a celebrity, and also he meets with the president of the White House alone, off the official schedule, no record of their conversations. Do you think he will testify before lawmakers?
It's a good question. He has given sort of a number of very different answers on that question. I think he probably will do what the president wants him to do. And the White House, at least so far, when various associates and aides to the president have been called for testimony by House Democrats, has advised them not to testify. So that would be my guess, but we're going to have to see what happens.
That's Rebecca Ballhaus, White House reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you.